Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey, Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the number one motivational podcast on the planet. Been a while. Get into as to why. Let's just hit the old reset button, shall we? It's March 30th. Almost said 31st. March 30th, Monday, the end of March, baby. Our baby came home. Our baby Susan came home from the hospital March 26th, 4 days ago. I'm going to talk all about that. The journey we've been on. We're going to go longer today. I hope it's okay. I hope you don't mind if I go just a little bit longer today on the show to kind of reset everything, where we are, what's been going on. And I want you to live vicariously through this message of hope, of inspiration, of good news, of great things happening. I mean, it's just, there's so much. I'm overwhelmed. I'm literally, my heart is overwhelmed with just so much emotion. So let's dive into it. If you're not familiar with myself, the show, what we're all about, look, here's the deal. Go to everydaysaturday.com. Put your name and email in so I can keep communicating with you way past this show. I want to inspire, motivate, empower you to make every day Saturday, to monetize your passion, to look up at the clock at 7 o'clock at night on a Tuesday and say, holy cow, I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing because I love this life that I've created for myself. And here's the good news as well. No matter where you are right now, whether you're $100,000 in debt, whether you've lost a loved one, all of that's happened to me. It's probably happened to you as well. Whether you feel as though you're at the end of your rope, man. There's not much hope and you just can't go on because life sucks. Oh, by the way, we keep it real on this show. I hope that's okay. I mean, I hope you're not offended by some adult words and things like that. I don't say anything like that to, be Howard Sternish. I say that because I live life unfiltered. You know, I want to do something. I just go do it. I want to quit a job and launch a speaking career. I just go do it. You can begin right now, no matter how much you think life right now is stacked against you. You can barely breathe. The good news is, and I promise you this much, you can start today. Even if March 30th is your first day, even if you're 200 pounds overweight and you want to get back to where you were your junior year of high school, you can start today. It takes just one step, man. Just getting going and believing in yourself that I know. Look, I make this analogy all the time, but it's like when you go out to dinner at a restaurant, you enter the restaurant at 7 o'clock at night, you get a couple glasses of wine, a nice meal, maybe you hang out and listen to the band for an hour extra. Before you know it, you come home. You get out to the parking lot, it's 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden it's foggy outside. You can't even see. I mean, it looks nothing like you did. The sun's been gone now. It looks nothing like you did when you entered the restaurant. Yet, when you turn the headlights on, you can see 10, 15, 20 feet, maybe 50 feet in front of you. Excuse me. That's all you need to see to get home. You don't need to see your driveway from the restaurant. You just need to be able to see 50 feet in front of you. That's what it means to start all over again. That's what it means to go after your dream. Just get going. 50 feet in front of you. Don't have all the answers. You don't need all the answers. Don't go asking broke people for financial advice. Just get going the way you know how to get going. And I promise you, man, 90 days from now, I was saying this message January 1st of this year, and we've gone now 120 days almost. Some people stayed with me. Some people have gone off the path a little bit. Some people haven't even begun yet. Wherever you are right now, get going today. You can start right now. So, if you're not familiar, we had a baby. My wife and I, Angela, had a baby at 24 weeks. She was born August 17th of 2014. Susan Catherine Crowley, given very little chance to live. I mean, profound neurological disorder, cerebral palsy, if she even made it. Funny thing is, man, day after day, week after week, this kid fought like nobody's business. I mean, just fought and fought, from being intubated with a tube down her throat to keep her lungs open to trying to take her off the ventilator to putting her back on to off to on again. Had a tracheostomy tube put in January to or December rather, to, you know, finally say, all right, we're gonna trach her. We're gonna give her a trach and get her lungs open for the next couple of years. And she's been in Children's Hospital and UC Medical Center 221 days, and last Thursday she came home. And I want to take you through that day, because it was the most emotional day I think I've ever had. Outside of the actual birth of my children, bringing my daughter home after almost 7 months, after over 7 months, August 17th to March, yeah, over 7 months in the hospital. Guys, these days just seem to run together, but yet it seemed like time stood still, and yet it seemed like it flew by. It's so wild. And my wife and I woke up like Christmas morning last Thursday, March 26th, because that was the day we were bringing our daughter home. Prior to that, Sunday, the reason why I haven't done a podcast in 10 days is last weekend I had to spend the entire 24-hour shift in the hospital caring for my daughter to, you know, it's part of the last hurdle you got to jump over. All of these training and tests. It's quite honest, I don't know how, you know, 20-year-old kids that live in West Virginia, 4 hours away from Children's Hospital, get this. Like, there's so much to do. I think of these kids to take their kids home, kids having kids, you know what I mean? And I think they take their kids home to the backwoods of Appalachia without access to the best medical care like we have, just 30 minutes away. Just that insurance policy in case something goes wrong. And they're supposed to care for these needy, needy, needy children with these major health issues. I don't know how they do it, but I know what we were doing. Last weekend, I was staying overnight in the hospital, and I had to get up every, you know, it seemed like every 10 minutes, but pretty much every hour, feed Susan, give her her meds, change her diaper, suction out her trach tube. That's, you know, there's a lot that goes into caring for your baby. Probably suctioning out her tube was the most frequent thing I did over the course of 24 hours straight. And it was tiring, man, when I finally got let out. Let out. Like escape prison. And I was driving home. I was exhausted. I had a nasty head cold last week. That's another reason why I never recorded a show. I couldn't even speak. I lost my voice. I was supposed to host a podcast training webinar last weekend or last Tuesday. Couldn't do it. I didn't have any voice. And all of this was happening the week we were bringing our baby home. But, you know, what are you going to do? Complain? Seriously? Like, who would ever want to hear my complaint about losing my voice or being tired from being in the hospital on a 24-hour shift? I stayed up 38 hours. You know, I was up since, I get up early. I get up 4 or 5 in the morning every day. And that's just what I do. That's what time I wake up. I go to bed 9:30 at night. Well, I got up at 4 in the morning the previous day and stayed up till 7 or 8 o'clock at night the following night. So it was a long day. But as we counted down bringing our baby home, I don't know, man. I don't even know the emotion. I'm trying to give you guys the good stuff, you know, because you're a loyal podcast listener. I want you to feel what I'm feeling, but I'm struggling trying to find the words. Have you ever anticipated a day? Oh, God, it's getting emotional, man. It's like, have you ever anticipated a day that you thought was never going to come? Like, literally was never going to happen. It was surreal that March 26th was here. And so when we woke up, our neighbors took our kids to school, which was awesome. It was pouring down rain here, which wasn't awesome, but it didn't matter. I don't care if it was Noah's Ark type stuff outside, man. I don't care if it was a blizzard, a rainstorm, a monsoon, a tsunami. We were getting to the hospital, and it was our last trip. Regular trip. Now, we got to bring our baby back for checkups. Matter of fact, we have a first appointment with her primary pediatrician tomorrow, which is going to be funny because we got to make her mobile. We got to get her ventilator, her oxygen tank, and all that stuff, and get her into the car, take her to the doctor for the appointment. But that's okay. I mean, what am I doing that? But last Thursday was our last trip down I-71 to downtown Cincinnati, fighting this crazy rush hour traffic. Keep in mind, I haven't been downtown Cincinnati regularly since 2007 when I quit my job the second time. You know, I don't go downtown. I avoid rush hour traffic. I want to go to Home Depot, Kroger, things like that. I go at 10 in the morning. I go to the gym at 2 in the afternoon. I avoid crowds. I don't like crowds anymore. I don't want to wait. I've been spoiled. I'm an entrepreneur for over 10 years, and I don't go where the crowds are anymore. You know, we go to restaurants at 5 at night. I go to the gym at 2 in the afternoon, and it's a beautiful life. That's all what being free means, is to go and do things on your schedule. So we arrived at the hospital, and, you know, of course, on discharge day, it takes a little while. We got there around 7:30 in the morning, and we did what we normally do with Susan. We got her ready, cleaned her, bathed her, changed her diaper, got her in her outfit for the day, cared for her, changed out her trach ties, did cleaning, you know, around the stoma and things like that. All of this has become second nature for us, you know. 4 months ago, had you told me that my daughter would have a hole in her throat and I've got to care for that and, you know, we're basically her life support, I would have said, man, that's too much for me to handle. But it's not. It's not too much. God never gives you too much to handle. God gives you the tools that you need to rise above it. Like the great Jim Rohn used to say, don't ask for your problems to go away. Ask for you to grow bigger than your problems. What problems do you have right now? Financial, relationship, business, job? What are they? You can grow bigger than those problems. They're not even problems. You know why? Because inside the 18 billion brain cells that you have in your head is a solution to that problem. Now, whether you want to acknowledge that solution, that's whether you're growing big or small. That's a you problem. Okay, your problems always come back. That's a you problem. Have you lost a mom, a dad? God forbid, a child. I mean, I don't know what that's like. I know what it's like losing a child at 20 weeks. We lost Matthew in 2000, but I don't know what it's like to lose an actual child. I don't even want to minimize that, talk about it. I'd sound like an absolute idiot if I did. But I'm talking about maybe losing a parent, a friend. Death is the ultimate permanent equalizer in life, that you've only got so much time left on earth, and you're going to waste it on what? Watching reality shows, bitching about your job or people who've done you wrong. People still going to do you wrong. Tell this to my daughter all the time. You want drama? Have a 14-year-old daughter. You know, she's a great kid, National Junior Honor Society, but drama comes with 14-year-old girls, you know. And I tell her, Madeline, grow larger than your problems. And it's a lot for a 14-year-old to handle, because it's all about how you look, your hair, your nails, and, you know, your clothes, and who talks about you or says something. And Instagram now is all the rage for teenagers and what they like. Someone didn't like my photo. Okay, all right, well, that sounds big to me, but let's grow larger than your problems. And we've been able to do that with our baby Susan. We've run into problems nonstop, but we've grown larger than them, and we've never had a problem with her that we didn't go immediately try to find the solution. We had our home nurse come over for the first time on Friday for 2 hours and fired her because she allowed Susan's trach to literally come out of her throat twice while we were doing the cleaning. Twice. It's never happened even one time in 4 months, and this nurse allowed it to happen twice, so we fired her. And not because I don't even know her. Truth be told, I don't even know her last name. All I know is she wasn't qualified to care for our daughter, and we do not, and you should not ever settle for anything less than excellence. You're in control. You're in control of everybody who comes into your life. We need a nurse here. Truth be told, we don't even need a nurse, okay? Angela and I do not need a nurse. We're not in dire, you know, situation where we need a nurse. Angela doesn't work outside the home. I work from home. We can do it. Now, we would love and we would gladly embrace a qualified set of hands for our baby. We would take it. That's great. But we're not going to go to the store hungry, all right? We're not going to settle. There's so many life lessons inside a journey like this. Settling, finding solutions, growing bigger than your problems. You know, people are like, Sam, I can't believe you're like Superman. You and Angela do it. No, we're not. You want to know who's Superman? A mom that cares for a quadriplegic, a cancer victim, a cancer patient, somebody that actually doesn't have as much hope. Susan's going to be off her trach in 2 years. All right, we know that already. We're going to try to accelerate that through giving her exemplary care. We're not letting anybody in our life who doesn't deliver anything less than excellence. That's just, we don't settle anymore. I used to settle. I used to worry about offending people or how they're going to receive this feed. No, that again, that's a you problem, meaning you, them, the person who is not delivering excellence. There's so many lessons when you go through a journey. I thank God every day that he gave us Susan and he gave us this challenge to find solutions to problems and grow larger than them. And last Thursday, you know, the clock finally ticked down to 12 noon, the discharge time. And right up to the bitter end, we were having some issues. The oxygen, we have a home hospital equipment company, and the representative met us in Susan's room to make her portable. You need a portable oxygen tank and the ventilator and everything. Well, he never turned her oxygen on. She started turning blue and eyes going back in her head, and she was passing out. Not passing out, but just getting lethargic. And we're like, hey, something ain't right, man. You know, just something ain't right. He's like, oh, I don't know what it could be. He goes, let me go get a new oxygen tube. Well, we looked at the actual tank. Inside, we've got this red. It's called our emergency bag. It's got everything in there, you know, for emergency. And I won't go through the items in there, but you can just imagine anything to try to revive your baby. And inside there was the oxygen tank. It wasn't turned on. It was actually on, but the hose was disconnected. So there was no oxygen going from the tank to our daughter. And so mom, you know, my wife, obviously saw that. And you just know. Your instincts go in. So we turned oxygen on immediately and laid Susan back down, and her numbers started coming back up. And she was fine after 10 or 15 minutes of laying there. But again, you know, you panic. No, you don't panic. You troubleshoot. You find the solution. When the rep came back in the room, I said, hey, buddy, I need you to get better right now, okay? Her oxygen tube was disconnected. He goes, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I said, hey, not worried. I know you're sorry. I know you feel bad. I need you to stay focused, though, while you're with us. He got it, and you know what? The guy's been great for the last 3 days. He's been at our house hooking everything up. Everything's perfect now. Well, no, I shouldn't say perfect. We still are missing some equipment, but he patched some stuff together. That's just the way we roll, man. We give the feedback. It's not... I'm not really concerned with how people receive the feedback. All I need is excellence. So we got Susan out at around 12:10 last Thursday, got her into the car, said goodbye. During rounds, you know, each morning for the last 220 days, the whole team at Cincinnati Children's, the doctor, pulmonologist, attending physician, fellow, residents, nurses, everybody comes around and they do rounds on your daughter or your child, and they give an update. What's going on? And they ask mom, dad, any questions, anything like that. Well, last Thursday, on her discharge day, was the last day we were doing rounds, and the doctor said, mom, any questions? And Angela just broke down. She just started crying because it all hit her that this is it. My baby's coming home. My baby's coming home, man. And everything just, it hit her at one time. She couldn't even speak, and she just started sobbing on the outside of our room. And so did everybody else. The nurses, they got it. They knew the emotional toll that this journey had taken on us and our family. And they finally, I think, understood that we're emotionally, so emotionally invested in this every single day we've been there for our daughter. And that was pretty wild. It was a very cool moment. There wasn't a dry eye on the floor. And so we walked out. Everybody waved goodbye to Susan. We loaded her in the car. We came home, and we hooked her up. Plugged her in, got the ventilator going. The hospital equipment guy, Dave, was here hooking everything up. Took her from being portable to being now plugged in to, they got some really cool equipment. Now, it's about $50,000 a month to run all of this equipment. And as I said, if you've seen the interviews I've done on television, if not, go to my YouTube channel. I posted the interviews there on the local ABC and Fox affiliate that now I'm an advocate for our One More Breath Foundation. It's a nonprofit foundation. You'll be hearing more about it. We're launching a Kickstarter program this week to fund our documentary film. But on the interview, I said, you know, it's $50,000 a month to keep this kid alive. Now, insurance may pay some of this, may pay all of it. I don't know yet. I can't get an answer, which is fine. I don't worry about it. They'll send me, you know, more important letters letting me know we got a sense of urgency to pay this bill, and then I'll get on the phone and we'll figure it all out. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about right now is growing our daughter's lungs. And last week, we hooked everything up. This machine called an oxygenator, and it takes the oxygen that's in the room already, or it takes the air that's in the room already, purifies it, turns it into pure oxygen, sends it through the tube into our daughter's trach. I mean, it's really wild, man, this equipment. It's expensive, but boy, really awesome. And so she's been hooked up in our living room, and that's where she's been sleeping. My wife's been sleeping there. Now the kids are, now we got like this camp out. Everybody wants to sleep in the living room with Susan. Our daughters have never had a little baby sister, which is very cool. And now the journey starts new. Now we've got her home. And I remember waking up last Friday morning, and I had to pinch myself. I had my cup of coffee. My wife and I were hanging out there, and baby Susan was sleeping in her pack and play in the living room, and she was with us. I mean, everything just seemed perfect. I don't even know. It's never, I've said this 1,000 times, but I wish, I love the Jim Carrey saying, I wish you could have all the money you've ever wanted in the world so you can see that that's not what you ever really wanted. What you wanted is fulfillment. What you wanted is inner peace. What you wanted is just the perfect moment. Last Friday morning when we woke up and our whole family was around, our family of six, and we didn't have to make that trip downtown to Children's Hospital for the first time in 221 days, that was the perfect moment. It didn't get any better than that. Yeah, we got tubes going in and out of our daughter and alarms going. Oh, those alarms, my God. It's not alarming. It's just beeps. Like beep, 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 beep. When her saturation levels fall down or heartbeat goes down, it's not even alarming. You almost become numb to them. But you got your kid hooked up to these different wires and tubes and things like that. But it's all just temporary, and it's all a good thing. I mean, a tube going from a ventilator to your child's throat is not good or bad. It's only the meaning that you give to that. The meaning I give to that is that's life. That's keeping her alive, and that's the new normal for us for the next year. And it ain't that big a deal. It just isn't. The whole reason I created this entrepreneurial lifestyle, this whole every day is Saturday lifestyle 10 years ago, was so I could be a dad. I kept it simple. I never wanted to be anything more than just a father, whatever that meant. Now, whether I was going to mow lawns for a living or whether I would find myself on stage in front of 2,000 people in these exotic places around the world, I don't need to be on stage in Hawaii. I love it. I wouldn't turn it down, but I don't need that. You know what I need? I need to be that father who was never there for me. My dad left when I was 3 months old, left my mom to raise 8 kids by herself, left her to be an alcoholic, left her to fall down the stairs at 2 in the morning, drunk out of her mind, just passed out. And a horrible life. My mom, in my opinion, had a horrible life, but I am here to represent the Crowleys of the new millennium and be a father. That's all I want to be. Now, how that path takes me, where it takes me, I don't know. I have no idea where it's going to be a year from now. I didn't know we were having a baby. I didn't know we were having a baby at 24 weeks. I didn't know I'd have a nonprofit foundation called One More Breath. None of this a year ago was on my radar. And there's going to be things that happen this year that wasn't going to be on your radar, good or bad. Here's my message for you today, okay? If you want the good stuff to come up on your radio, if you want the good stuff to come up on your radar, I mean just 30 days from now, get better. Get better, find solutions, grow larger than your problems. Hang around people who are better. Don't settle for anything less than excellence. If you're in an abusive relationship, get the hell out of it. If you're in a bad job, get the hell out of it. All right. There's no reason to stay where you are. There's no law that says you got to be a martyr. Okay. The only thing you need to do is get better than the person that you were yesterday. You want better things to happen? You've got to get better, man. You can't stay the way you are. Had I been the person I was 10 years ago, stressed out, overweight, in a job, egomaniac, selfless, self-centered, looking at myself. Number one, I would have never been there for my daughter in the hospital the past 7 months because my lifestyle wouldn't have allowed me to be able to do that. All right? You need to be there for the big moments in your life. And if you're not there now, forgive yourself, but get going because there's no excuse. No excuse. And I don't care. I tried to find them. I was the best excuse maker. Like, I could make excuses out of anything. You tell money, boss, automobiles breaking down, any reason why I couldn't get to where I needed to go to make something happen in my life, couldn't afford a plane ticket to a live event, things like that. Don't become the excuse maker. Become the problem solver. Don't hang around excuse makers. Don't hang around enablers. Don't hang around people who want you to stay small so it looks as though they didn't do it for their life. It ain't about you. It's about them. Oh, you don't need to go start that business. Well, why not? It's a lot of work. I don't want you to get your hopes up. It's bull crap. You know what it is? They don't want to hold the mirror up to themselves to show how small they played in life. Okay? Get going. Grow big, man. Grow big. I mean, last week, let me wrap up today's show with this thought, okay? Last Thursday, when I laid my head down at night, I had my whole family together. I was a father of four with a family of six, and I'm was the most irresponsible party animal, egomaniac, whatever you want to call me, man. But you know what you can still call me? Dad. That's what my kids are calling me, Dad. My four girls all sleeping in the same room like we had a flipping camp out in our living room last Thursday night because our baby Susan was home. Our baby Susan came home. And this story that started out so bleak last July with my wife on bed rest for 6 weeks, a story that started out with very little hope. One day in, the doctor's coming into my wife's room at the hospital saying, you need to go to see Susan because we don't think she's going to make it through the night. Not only does she make it through the night, she's been with us home now every night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the past four nights. And I couldn't be, I mean, you cannot wipe the smile off my face. It's like I ate a banana sideways. So my encouragement to you, my prayer for you actually, is that you understand the power that you have inside of you to change any situation, any circumstance. And if you don't feel like that or you need to pick me up, hit play on this podcast 100 times just to feel the inspiration that's inside of you and go inspire somebody else. It's Sam Crowley. I'm excited, baby. We got more podcasts coming down the pike this week. I know I was out last week with the old head cold and everything else going on, but I'm back, and I'm better than ever. And I want you to have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.